بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The divorce of a person whose uncle is not present, and the divorce using words of kinaya or metaphorical words. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وآله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما كثيرا وفقها في الدين وعملا متقبلا. أسأل الله تعالى أن يوفقنا لما يحب ويرضى وأن يتقبل منا. صلى الله على محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد, respected brothers in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. May Allah reward you, inshaAllah ta'ala, and we ask that Allah accept from us in this ta'aneem, in this halaqah, and that He make it one that is filled with His blessings and barakah, inshaAllah ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, this will be the lesson number 67 in the classes on the fiqh of marriage from the book Bulugh al-Maram min Adillat al-Ahkam by Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, the great scholar from Egypt. And the explanation that we're reading is from Masjid al-Nabawi by Sheikh Atiyah Muhammad Salam. And last time we began the section on the hadith of the woman named Ibnat al-Jawn. Ibnat al-Jawn. She was a girl who was from a very high standing, from a family who was very well known, and she was very beautiful. It said that she was the most beautiful woman of the Arabs. And her father came to the Prophet ﷺ and proposed for the Prophet ﷺ to marry her. And he said that she wants to marry the Prophet ﷺ. So the Prophet ﷺ, he agreed to the marriage, and the girl was sent for, and the marriage was performed. And then she was sent to the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, Hafsa and Aisha, it said, to comb her and make her ready to meet the Prophet ﷺ. And then when she came to the Prophet ﷺ, when he came to put her hand to bring her near or to make dua, she said, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْكَ, I seek refuge in Allah from you. And then she said, the Prophet ﷺ said, give me yourself in marriage. She said, do the queens and princesses give themselves to the common folk? To the common folk. Then the Prophet ﷺ, when he heard these words, and she said, A'udhu billahi mink, I seek refuge in Allah from you. Then he said, Ilhaqi bi ahdaki, go to your family. Go to your family. So these are the words, go to your family, that inshallah we'll be discussing today regarding the divorce using the words that have the what is called the metaphorical meaning. The metaphorical meaning. And last time we, just to summarize what we discussed last time, we said that some of the scholars, they say that the girl, she was tricked by some of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ. And they told her, if the Prophet ﷺ approaches you, then say, I seek refuge in Allah from you. And he will like that. He will think that it's something very attractive. So they actually tricked her to say that. And then when she said that, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, you have sought refuge in Allah, the great. Go ahead, go to your family. Mm. This is what many of the commentators, they state. And also they say that what's interesting is that the way the Prophet ﷺ responded to this trick of his wives is that he didn't punish his wives or become angry with them. And the way that he responded to the girl, Ibnat al-Jawn, he made excuses for her. When she said, do the queens and princesses give themselves to the common people, he didn't become angry. He didn't, you know, become upset with her and yell at her. But he made excuses for her. And some of the ulama, they said the excuse perhaps he made is that she was very high-minded. And we mentioned before that the scholars say that there's three qualities that a woman has that if it's found in a man, it's a negative quality. If it's found in a woman, it's something good. One of those qualities is being high-minded, being arrogant somewhat. Because in a man, it's a very negative quality, as the Prophet ﷺ said, that arrogance, a man who has a seed of arrogance will not enter paradise. But in a woman, if she has some dignity or some high-mindedness, she won't give herself to any person. She will be more restrained and more careful about herself. The second quality that's negative in the men, positive in women, is, they say, cowardliness. Fear. For a man, being a coward, this is a very negative quality. But for a woman, if she has some fear and cowardliness, she won't go out at night. She won't go to dangerous places. She'll stay home and she'll stay close to the family. So this is a good quality. And the third quality that's negative in the men and positive in women, they say, is the bukhl. Does anybody know what bukhl means? No. Have you heard that word before? Bakhil? Bakhil? No? Stingy, right?
No.
Stingy, a person they don't want, they don't like to spend money. Mm. For a man, this is a very negative quality. For a woman, if she doesn't like to spend money, then what does that mean she'll do with her husband's money? She won't spend all his money when he's gone. When he leaves, she's going to be careful about his money, his property. And if he's there, she'll ask his permission. Can I buy this? Should I buy this? That's actually a good quality to find in the women. Now, so this is what we covered last time, inshallah ta'ala. Today we're going to talk about what happens when a person, they say some words that might mean divorce, or they might mean less than that. They might mean less than that. Like, for example, we have some words that are very clear in what they mean. If a man says to his wife, "You are divorced," there's no question about it. We know what he meant. He said, "You are divorced." You know, that's it. The relationship is over. And in Islamic law, that's the right of the husband to divorce his wife. If he says, "You are divorced," to his wife, then actually it takes place. Even, and there's no joking or playing around, as we read before, that the word of divorce is taken as serious. If he says you're divorced, then it takes place. But the question comes up is, what about if he uses a statement that could have two meanings, or more than one meaning? Like, for example, if he says to her, "Go to your family. Go to your family." Like in this hadith here, the Prophet ﷺ said to her, "Go to your family." Now this word, the statement, "Go to your family," what does that mean? What comes to your mind if a husband says to his wife,
go home.
Yeah. For what? To have some dinner at home? And what does it usually mean? That's right. See how you have both interpretations. He might be mad at her, and he just says, "Go to your family for some time and then come back." That's the close meaning. That's one of the meanings. But when you have a statement that's what they call metaphorical, it could have another meaning, which is could be intended, but it's not the direct literal meaning. You know, sometimes you don't mean the literal words, but you mean something else that is a little bit more not as direct, not as literal. So here, "go to your family," it could mean go to your family permanently and you're divorced. Go and stay with your family. And this is actually what was meant by the words of the Prophet in this hadith. So here the ulama, the scholars, they say that divorce, if it's direct, then it definitely includes, because the word divorce, or in Arabic they have talaq, and farat and sarih. These three words, they're direct. He means, I mean, there could be no other interpretation. The word divorce, it's very hard to say the man meant you are divorced from, you know, from staying in this house. You know, it's very hard to think of like any other meaning. You're divorced from talking to me today. It's very far, you know, that kind of interpretation. If he says you're divorced, this is a direct meaning, and we don't have to look at the intention behind it, because it's direct. He meant it. But what about when he uses a word like go to your family? Here in these kind of statements, we have to look at the intention behind it. We have to look at what did he intend by those words. Did he intend to divorce his wife? Or did he intend just to tell her to go and spend time with her family? So when it's a metaphorical statement like go to your family, we have to look at the interpretation and what did he mean and what was his intention. But if he says you are divorced, we can't say that, you know, we can't say that we look at his intention. He can't say I made a mistake. Divorce is a very clear statement and it's not accepted. Especially if he was in an argument. Say he was arguing with his wife and she said divorce me, and then he says you were divorced. In this case, do you need to look at the search for the intention and ask? If he says you are divorced, do we have to look at his intention?
No.
The clear word, divorce, we don't look at the intention because it's so clear. There's no way he could have meant anything else. Right? So that divorce definitely takes place. If he says to his wife, Anti Talaq, you are divorced, that's it. There's no questioning him, what did you mean by that? It's pretty clear. But if he were to say to his wife, he's talking to his wife, go to your family. Now the wife, she doesn't know, did he divorce me? Or did he just mean go and visit my family? She doesn't know.
In this case, yes. what the Prophet ﷺ meant?
Here in this case, what he meant is that she's divorced. Because in the Arabic language, go to your family, sometimes they used to use that to mean you're divorced. And sometimes they would use that, you know, it has both meanings. But usually what it meant is you're divorced. Usually. But they knew that he meant to divorce her because he told one of the Sahaba to go and give her a present, you know, and let her stay with her. You know, he made it very clear that was what he meant. He gave her some type of dress as a present. So his intention was to divorce her, and so she became divorced by that. Because that's what she asked for. She wanted, she had said that, I seek refuge in Allah from you. So he said, okay. He said, you sought refuge in the Mighty One. That's it, go to your family. You know, and he let her go back to her family. He divorced her. Okay, so that is the, there's two cases when you use the wording. If you use the direct words like divorce, then it takes place. But if you say, I don't want to be with you anymore. Somebody says to his wife, you're free. You know, what does he mean by that? See, so when he uses words that are unclear, then you have to ask him what his intention was. But if he uses the very clear words, then we don't have to ask. Let's go to the next hadith, inshallah. This hadith is narrated by Jabir radiallahu anhu, who said, لا طلاق إلا بعد نكاح ولا عتق إلا بعد ملك رواه أبو يعلى. Here this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he said on the authority of Jabir that there can be no divorce except after the marriage, and there cannot be a freeing like the freeing of a slave except after possession of the slave. This hadith was narrated by Abu Ya'la. So here in this chapter, the author, he brings this hadith that two things. A poor person cannot divorce a woman until after he marries her. A person cannot divorce a woman except if he marries her. For example, a person cannot divorce somebody else's wife. He can't say to his friend, your wife is divorced. He cannot do that. Nor can he say, and here's the issue that comes up, and this is why the scholars bring this up in the chapter of divorce. If a person wants to divorce a wife, what divorce literally means is undoing the contract. You know, there's a contract when you marry somebody, and divorce, it literally means to undo the contract. So if he's not married to the woman in the first place, how can he undo the contract with her? Right? If there's no contract between them, then how can he undo the contract? He has to marry her first, and then divorce makes sense. It doesn't make sense that he says to a woman, you're divorced, and he's not even married to her in the first place. No. So this is the rule here, that a person can only act upon what he owns. Now, a person can only undo something that he owns in the first place. But here there's a little bit of, let's see if we can explain this in a good way, inshallah. The scholars, they have a little bit of explanation. The common example they give is, what if a person, he says, if I marry a woman, she's divorced. Somebody, he just says, "Who? If I marry a woman, she's divorced." Now here, he's saying that if he gets married, then she's going to get divorced. Is he allowed to divorce her in this way before he even married her?
No.
No, right? How can he divorce her? He didn't marry her yet. He's saying, if I marry her, she's divorced. So Imam Ahmad, he said, this does not count at all. How can you say, if I get married, she's divorced? He didn't even marry her yet, and now you want to divorce her. You want to issue a divorce to a woman who you haven't even married yet. So they say this does not count at all. Right? This is the view of Imam Ahmad. But here's where it gets a little bit of more different understanding. Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, he's another one of the great imams. What he said is that he's saying that if he says this, that if he marries a woman, she's divorced, he said that the divorce counts. Because the condition, it's like an oath to do something. And once the condition is fulfilled, then the thing has to take place. So Abu Hanifa, he says to the woman, if I marry you, you are divorced. Then he marries her, she will be divorced. Because the condition that he made came true. And so, he's not really divorcing her before marrying her, but he's setting a condition on himself that when I get married to her, I'm going to divorce her. So then he has to fulfill the condition. This is what Abu Hanifa, he said. So that's one view, another view. A third view, and this is even more interesting, this is the view of Imam Malik. Imam Malik he said that if he tells a specific woman, he says, if I marry you, you are divorced, then it counts, it takes place, she's going to be divorced. If he says there's a woman, her name is Maryam or Fatima, he says, Maryam, if I marry you, you're divorced. Then Imam Malik said that if he marries her, she's going to be divorced. Right? This is similar to what Abu Hanifa said, right? But then, the interesting thing is, if he said, in general, he didn't mention any woman, he says, if I get married, the woman is going to be divorced. Imam Malik says, this does not count at all.
Because that's not that specific person.
Because he didn't mention who it is.
Yeah.
And the problem is, if he says, whoever I marry, she's divorced, that means he's forbidden marriage to himself. That means he can never get married. Right? If somebody says, whoever I marry, she's divorced, that means he's never going to be able to get married. And then what's he going to do? If he can't get married, he might end up doing haram. Right? It's as if he's forbidding marriage to himself. If he can't get married, he's going to end up opening the door to doing something sinful. So Imam Maliki said he can't do that. If he says, if I marry Maryam, she's divorced, that's okay, according to Malik. Because he can marry another woman, he can marry Fatima, he can marry Salama, but he cannot marry Maryam. So he still has an option, he can still get married. He's not going to fall into evil. Even if he says, if I marry a woman from this town, she's divorced, Imam Malik, what does he say? It's okay for him to say that. Because he can marry a woman from another town. And if he says, if I marry a Christian woman, she's divorced. Say he wants to prevent himself from ever marrying a Christian woman. So he says, if I marry a Christian woman, she's divorced. Imam Malik, what does he say?
It counts.
Because he can still marry a Muslim woman. If he says, if I marry a Muslim woman, she's divorced. Even still, Imam Malik said it's okay because he can still marry a Christian or a Jewish woman. Now, so these are some of the views of the scholars here. But what's very interesting here, now, this is basically the concept here. So there's the three views. Let me see if we can summarize it. Imam Ahmad, he says that you cannot divorce before getting married. It doesn't matter if you say to, you know, it doesn't count. You have to marry her first, then you can divorce. There's no way of saying, if I marry so-and-so, she's divorced. He doesn't allow it at all. Imam Abu Hanifa, he says the opposite. If you say, if I get married, I'm divorced, that divorce counts all the time. And this is, you know, this is going back to the words of the Prophet ﷺ. One cannot divorce until he... One cannot divorce except after marriage. So Imam Ahmad takes the hadith very literally. You cannot divorce until after marriage. Imam Abu Hanifa, he says, it's a condition you have to fulfill. And Imam Malik, he agrees with the hadith. He says you have to, you cannot divorce. If you make it a condition, you must divorce her. Except if you made it general. If you made it general that you're going to divorce any woman you marry, Imam Malik said, no, this is too difficult. Because you're making it impossible for you to get married. And he doesn't require that. It's called istihsan. When it comes to Allah. No. But something that's very important in this hadith, and this is the point here. I'll ask you, if somebody says to his friend, either you come over to my house for dinner or your wife is divorced. Can he say that?
No.
He cannot say that. Why not?
You cannot divorce somebody else's wife.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. You cannot divorce something you don't have authority over.
Yes.
So if somebody scares you like that, he says, either you come over or your wife is divorced, don't worry about it. Prophet Muhammad said, there is no divorce except after you marry, marriage. And there's no freeing except after you own. Like for example, say somebody said, if my child comes home, then so-and-so's slave is going to be free. He doesn't have a right to free somebody else's slave. He can only free his own, something that he owns himself. One cannot divorce somebody else's wife. A wife cannot divorce herself. Sometimes you have that question too. The wife says to her husband, either you do this and this woman or I'm divorced. So then he gets scared. He says, oh, she divorced herself. Does it count? She says, Ana talik. I'm divorced. She doesn't own the right to divorce. She cannot divorce only unless she goes to a judge and goes through all the steps. Only the man has the right to divorce. So a man cannot divorce somebody else's wife. He cannot free somebody else's slave, etc. Now this is what we learn from this hadith, inshallah ta'ala. Zakum Allah khair. Would you like to hear? Yes, you have a question.
Well, so that in the village where you are located at, right? I thought you still have to go through a challenge to divorce, and you say, okay, sir, I'm divorcing you, right? That you said she divorced. You divorced her, right?
Yes.
But I thought you still had to go through the challenge of the law of the land.
No, what happens is we have to follow the Islamic law. See, we believe in Allah as Muslims. We have to follow the Islamic law.
This country don't recognize the Islamic marriage.
Yeah, so they're going
to have a marriage license. Because, if I marry a woman, right, and I have some property or whatever, right, if I don't work on a job for so long, right, she can't inherit anything unless I got some TR proof that she was married to me. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Okay, I see what your point is. It's good. It's very, very, very highly recommended to register the marriage in the country where one lives, because that will protect the rights. If there's children that come out and say the father or the husband, he says, no, I never married her, those are not my kids. So it protects the rights of everybody. If the husband dies, the wife says, where's my inheritance? And then they say, what's your proof that you're his wife? Then it's good to register it with the government. But the point is here that everybody involved has to follow the Islamic law. You know, somebody gets married, sometimes you find that a woman will divorce her husband. She will divorce her husband. This is not allowed in Islam. Woman cannot divorce her husband. The husband has the right to divorce. She can annul the marriage if she goes to a judge, an Islamic judge. Right? And it has to be for a good reason. She can't just go and say, I like this other man, I want to divorce my husband. Right. That's not allowed in Islamic law. That's haram for her to do that. So we have our own laws that are a little bit different than the laws over here. A man can marry more than one wife. The laws over here, they say go to jail. If you have four girlfriends, no problem. Four girlfriends, no problem.
Only one contract.
But you can only marry the one woman. That doesn't, over here you can sleep with any woman, it's not a crime. But for us, we cannot have relations except with a marriage contract. So for us, we're only restricted to what Islamic law says for women. For them, they can have the relations with anybody they want. So actually, our religious teachings are more strict than the laws over here. So, but what the government should do, they should learn from the Islamic law, because this is the laws of Allah, and Allah is the most wise. Whatever He taught us, those are the best laws for humanity. They'll bring about benefit in society. When you forbid the halal for people, you forbid them from the halal, they end up doing haram. You forbid a man from his marrying another wife, if he can treat them justly and he has the ability, then what ends up happening in those societies is that people end up doing haram. So when people, they follow the Islamic law, that will make everything good for the society, inshallah. So we hope that the people will learn more about Allah's law.
The wife here has to agree with her man, another wife, right? Take another wife?
No.
He just can take another wife?
That's right. No, she does not have to. She does not have to give her permission. That's not required for her. What he has to do, what he can marry up to four wives, but he has to treat them equally. She has to treat them equally, but she doesn't have to give her permission. No.
That means she has to be able to take care of each of them financially, sexually,
everything.
Every night he has to share, take a night.
He has to spend time equally. We talked about this actually in a previous lesson, which is called the Qasma. The Prophet he would do it. He would spend one day with each wife, and that means he cannot go to the other wife on the turn of another wife's turn. He cannot leave her bed and go to another wife. It's not allowed. He has to be alone with the wife whose turn it is. But in the heart, can he control the love in his heart? That's something that Prophet Muhammad said, oh Allah, I divide my time, this is what I can control. But what's in my heart, you control and I don't control. So please don't blame me for it. And we covered that previously. So if a person, he loves a wife more than another, but he still treats them justly in terms of time, but he just feels more love for another one of the wives, this is allowed, this is okay. He's not doing wrong in that case. And this is what Allah means when He says, you will never be just with the wives if you try. What He means is the love in your heart. But in terms of being just in time, this is something we have the ability to do, and the Muslim, the man should do that, inshallah ta'ala. He's required to do that, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakallah khair, good question.
And he can't marry from the same family unless they're with their cousins? Or
it's not allowed for a man to keep two sisters in marriage at the same time, or a woman and her aunt. The woman and her aunt, like a woman and her niece, or two sisters, they cannot be together. You know why? The scholars, they say, when a woman is a co-wife, how does she usually feel towards her co-wife? Does she like her co-wife, or is she very jealous? Yeah. So what would happen is you would end up creating jealousy in the family. Amongst the two sisters, they would cut off from each other. And you wouldn't want to make two sisters, you know, dislike each other. So, yes.
I know a brother that married two sisters. They were twins.
Yeah, that's not allowed in Islam.
You Muslim, he married two twins.
Yes.
They wanted him to marry.
Yeah. Even if they allowed.
My brother questioned him and challenged him about that, right?
Yes.
And they stood up and said, no, this is what we want.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what their feelings are.
That's what they stood up and said, you know.
It goes by the law of Allah.
I know that.
We don't
go to
our control of feelings.
That's
right.
That's what they stood up and said. But our feelings are totally different.
The first marriage would be correct to the first sister. The second marriage would be invalid. The second.
They
would
leave, though.
Yeah.
The ones that, they wouldn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They wouldn't leave.
Yeah.
And he kept on, you know, he told us wrong, but they would not leave. They say, you know, say, this is what we want.
She has to understand that that's zina. You know, the second sister, she's committing the zina. You know, there's plenty of other men she can get married to. Inshallah.
She didn't leave.
Well,
I know she's still with him. They're still
together.
Right. Both
of them. Yeah, we have a lot of the people, they have the relations outside of marriage. So, you know, we have to advise them to follow the Islamic law and get married, inshallah. Inshallah. Alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah khair. Any other questions? Inshallah. Alhamdulillah, may Allah reward all of you, inshallah, jazakallah khair.
There are some women who have relationships without marriage too.
That's the very, very big problem.
Big problem in society.
Because the marriage in Islam is a very simple concept.
And Muslims get caught up in this way too, no?
One of the things you could call it almost like an innovation is we've made marriage so complicated and so difficult. That you have to have a big wedding, you have to pay so much money, you have to make it a big occasion. Actually, marriage is a very simple contract. Just like buying and selling something. It's so simple, it could be done in 5 minutes. The Islamic marriage contract. The guardian is there, two witnesses, the offer and the acceptance.
That's it.
It doesn't have to be, make it difficult for you.
I know a sister. She was married to his Muslim brother. She kept cheating on him. You know? She kept going with
him. Some society there, the girl demands X amount of money or property before they can get married.
That's right. Setting these high conditions
for them.
This is
for her
not,
to get married.
Not according to the Sunnah. Prophet Muhammad
is a Muslim country.
Prophet Muhammad said the less the mahr, the more barakah. And the woman.
Uh-huh.
Now, as for the lady, the husband whose wife is doing the extramarital relations, then he should not stay with her.
No, he divorced.
Yeah.
He did divorce.
Because
he kept doing it, you know.
Yeah, that's not appropriate for a chaste man to stay with a woman who's unchaste. That's called duyuth. Duyuth means a man who doesn't feel jealous. If he knows his wife is doing that and he doesn't care, that's a bad quality. The husband, he should feel jealous for his wife. He shouldn't like that other man look at his wife or touch his wife. Right. He should feel something like some ghira, they call it. So if he knows she's doing that and he doesn't care or he doesn't stop it, he can try to, if he thinks that she made a mistake and she's never going to do it again and she's really repenting and she wants to be good and pious and he trusts that, then he can, if he wants, he can accept her repentance, her apology, and hope that Allah forgives her. But if she's still doing that, it's not appropriate to stay in that kind of relationship.
In that case, does he have to do back the nikah again, do back the marriage?
The marriage contract is not invalid.
It's not invalid.
If she does that act, or he did that act, it would not invalidate the marriage contract. But she would they have to make repentance for that. They have to make tawbah for that. It's one of the big sins. You know, the married adulterer, the adulterer that is married, the punishment in Islam is the stoning. Very, very strong. That's right. Very, very strong punishment.
Yeah, well, anyway, he tried to stay. Well, he found out. I guess he found out, but he tried to keep it, you know. But then anyway, they supposed to got it straight. But then she went back and she did the same thing again.
Right.
So then he divorced her. And what happened? Another sister that was going to the same mosque, you know, he wound up marrying that sister.
Right.
But
right.
She got jealous. You know what I'm saying? And the email said that they was wrong, but they shouldn't have did that because what happened, they was, you know, like they was in they've been knowing each other for years. You know what I'm saying? Like the same mosque have been going for years, like 10, 15 years.
Yes.
Anyway, so she cheated or whatever, just got back together, and then she cheated again. So he divorced her,
right.
And he married this sister. She said, email said he shouldn't have married this sister, you should have found another sister because y'all had sat down as friends, you know, and Muslim, and, you know, constantly y'all to go out together and eat, you know, stuff like that, you know what I mean? So,
the other
was that
thing,
wrong?
Right.
Was that wrong?
It is, you know, the other dating problem.
It's
is,
not wrong, but it's not morally right.
If the woman, did that,
the moral behind it.
If she has a child, how does he know who the father is? Right, the woman she ended up doing that sin, she might get pregnant. She very likely she'd get pregnant. Then how does he know that's his child? So he actually in Islam it's allowed for a man to what they call li'an, which is that he says that he swears that his wife committed adultery, and if he's lying the curse will be on him. He says it four times. If he does that, that woman gets permanently separated from him. They can never get back together again. And if she has a child, he doesn't have to be. It's not his child. Because he swears that. But she can respond to that by swearing four times she never did the zina. And that the anger of Allah will be upon her if she's lying. So if she does that, they just get separated from each other. And they don't get married again after that. They cannot get married. That's called the li'an. I think you had a question also, brother. Did you remember what your question was?
After that last one,
that fooled you off.
No, actually, yeah. Really, what I wanted to ask you was the other woman was the wife's sister?
No, not
is sisters in the mosque.
Sisters in the mosque.
Sisters in the mosque.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm talking about. They were sisters in the mosque. But they should go, like, it was just like, you know, two sisters get together. Like, you know, like me and you get together, we go out, they should go out, and he should go out with the husband. They was kind of like close, you know what I'm saying? The two male were close, and the female, they was close.
Right.
For like 10 or 15 years, you know?
Well, you know what happens, people should go by the Islamic law. They should not go by their feelings.
Okay.
They don't like... You know, if somebody's doing the Islamic contract, they should not object to that.
Okay.
You know, if somebody, she's halal for him, they're doing everything according to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah, why are you going to prevent them from what is the risk?
Right.
Maybe, you know, maybe that was her risk for her, you know.
Right.
So a lot of times you find it's jealousy amongst women.
Right.
A lot of times you find the jealousy amongst the women. And Prophet Muhammad said, do not let a woman ask her husband to divorce his other wife because she wants to be his only wife. That's haram for her to do that. So a lot of times a woman, she'll feel jealous of, you know, why is he going to marry this other woman? And it's forbidden for her to create, to cause her husband to divorce the other wife. Actually, it's a big sin in general to make a separation between the husband and the wife. Anybody who's, if you know anybody, like the in-laws, family members, they should always try to keep the family together. It's a big, big sin to create ill feelings between a husband and his wife. Very nice to see you, brother. Khair, inshallah. So may Allah accept from you all, inshallah. Wa jazakumullah khair. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Any other questions? Good. Jazakallah khair.